When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Hello and welcome to Islanders Anxiety from Lighthouse Hockey and the Fans First Sports Network. My name is Dan Saracini. Joining me via Zencaster on this Sunday evening is my good friend Michael Leboff. And Mike, I have good news and I have bad news. I'm going to give you the good news first. The good news is the Islanders took home 4 out of a possible 8 points on their Western Canadian road trip, which isn't nothing, and, you know, kept them kind of in the playoff picture still this early in the season. And is kind of the bare minimum of what we had hoped that they would do. Now, are you ready for the bad news?
Yeah. I'm definitely ready for the bad news.
The bad news is literally everything else. It's all bad news. Aside from those 4 points, it's all bad news. In fact, by the time I think people listen to this, I expect the coach to have been fired and replaced by somebody else. We'll talk a lot about that in a little bit. But the vibes aren't good. Even in the wins, the vibes are not good. And I hate that phrase, but it's true. Like, even in these wins that we're going to talk about, or this, you know, these overtime losses or this one win, man, they don't make anything easy. They keep screwing up third periods, and this is not a fun team to watch right now. And lots of stuff is up in the air. And I think starting with the coach, who again is probably on his last legs right now. Where are you at with this Islanders team?
There's definitely some chunks of every season that live with you forever. And this Western Canada road trip, I will never forget. And there's both, you know, the on ice and then the fan off the ice stuff that I'll never forget. We'll talk about the on ice stuff in due course, but just think about what Islander fans went through Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday night. Three of the first of those 4 games were pretty late at night. 2 back-to-back 10 o'clock games, Eastern time. So for the most part, Islander fans were alone in the dark, watching these games on their couch. doing their best to fight sleep, which already kind of puts your mind in a weird spot when you're doing that, when you're battling to stay awake.
Sure.
And when you're battling to stay awake for something like this, I mean, it squishes your brain even more, because it'd be one thing if you were, you know, waiting up for good news. Everyone on the podcast has done that. Oh, I'm staying up for, you know, if it's a big sports game or a movie or series finale of a show, you're binge watching something that is enriching your life. Yeah, that's one thing. But when you are up alone in the dark on your couch alone, I know you watch the games for the most part on your laptop, and it's a very solitary experience for you.
Yes.
For me, it's especially road games. Like, it's most of the time I have the game on, the volume's on, the lights are on, and my family's kind of just like buzzing about living their lives. So while I am alone in the retching while I watch the game, there's usually at least some company. But these were not that. These were alone in the dark, kind of felt like you were dropped off in like the Amazonian rainforest or something and had to battle your way through it. And I do think that you said that the vibes are bad. I think that the vibes are actually okay now, but there's only one reason why, because it's over. Like, that we're back home. They won a game. We're out of the jungle, but we know whatever just happened to us in that jungle is going to stay with us forever. I'm not even going to apologize for being hyperbolic, because we're supposed to be hyperbolic on this podcast, but it felt very World War I-y when you read World War I and soldiers just being sent over the top. And they know, like, oh no, that's a terrible idea. Well, the other option is like, you just don't have another option. So you're in this weird spot where you have to do it, knowing full well what's waiting for you on the other side. And for Islander fans, it was, oh, going over the top meant staying up alone, watching these games and knowing how they're going to end. Which was, I don't know. It's, I don't want to say it's an experience that's going to change my life, because it's not, but it's definitely watching these games, this 4-game road trip, the way that they all unfolded, the stakes that each game had, where the Islanders were going into the games. It's not going to change my life, but it's definitely going to change me as a fan. It definitely changed me as a fan.
I think so.
Which is hard to do at this point when you've seen shit that we've seen.
Yeah. No, it's true. And you know, I don't think you're being hyperbolic when you talk about the experience. My wife and I are watching this show where, like, reality show people and celebrities go do this, like, special forces training thing. And it feels a little bit like that, where, like, these people are kind of used to a certain lifestyle and they're thrown into this completely different environment and are asked to do things that they would never have been asked to do. And it felt a little bit like that, like you're kind of gearing up late at night, like you said, the whole house in my case was asleep, and getting ready to go and then not knowing what's going to happen. And in most cases, it turned out to be pretty disappointing. Before we get into each individual game, reminder that we are on Patreon at patreon.com/islandersanxiety. Plans start as low as $2 a month. You can get ad-free episodes of this and all of our shows, plus bonus episodes, written posts, and a whole lot more. So sign up at patreon.com/islandersanxiety today to get all that cool stuff. I don't know how far we want to get into each of these individual games, because, you know, we do have a lot to talk about, and there are four.
And they were all the same game, so.
And they were essentially all the same game, except for some little twists towards the end. But we are talking about a 4-1 loss to the Edmonton Oilers, a 4-3 loss in Vancouver in overtime, a 4-3 shootout loss in Seattle the night after that loss in Vancouver, and then a 5-4 win in Calgary in the shootout on Saturday. And yeah, they're all pretty much cut from the same cloth. In each of them, the Islanders had a lead. Sometimes it was 1-0, sometimes it was 3-1. And in every case, completely blew that lead in the third period, went to and either just lost outright like they did in Edmonton, or lost in an extra frame, or won in the extra frame. So that's where it comes to. So you got 2 points from the loss in overtime in Vancouver and the shootout loss in Seattle, and then 2 points in the shootout win in Calgary. We'll talk about a particular player in that game in a second. But I want to go back to that Edmonton game real quick. It was the coaching debut of Chris Knobloch, who was the new Edmonton coach. So I think for most of us, we all kind of figured the Islanders would lose that game. They did. They were fine for two periods. They were tied at one. And then they had a meltdown, two quick power play goals from Zach Hyman and then McDavid. And that was it. And Evander Kane empty net goal just sealed it. And it just was not a fun experience in watching. You thought maybe they can steal it and they didn't. And, you know, again, this is a pattern that would continue through the next two games. But this is where I think the coach is going to end up paying the price, because this is a thing where the Islanders play pretty well for two periods and then absolutely fall apart, which is totally different than what we've seen lately. What did you think of that Edmonton game? This was, by the way, and you know, everybody knows Mike and I, we were in a group chat. We talked throughout the entire games. The thing that stuck out to me about this game is something you texted us after that game was over, which was that the Islanders had a lead 40 seconds into the game. Matt Barzal scores in the opening shift and it just went completely flatline and then off a cliff from there. Like, you're given a gift of a goal 40 seconds into the game. You can't capitalize on it. You can't make that team pay. You can't just add on and add on and add on. What are we doing out here? Like, it's just crazy. I just, when you, the way you said that just really stuck with me. They had a lead 40 seconds in, on a sweet goal too, I might add.
I think that goal actually is a pretty good conversation starter and thing to think about, because it, so much of this streak and what the Islanders have done, we've seen them go on these losing streaks before, and so many times, how many times have you and I on this show been like, they need Barzal to drag them out. They need the Oposos and the Tavareses to step up. They need whoever the guys were for the Islanders at the time. This is not that. That goal was a globetrottery goal. Matt Barzal and Bo Horvat have been fabulous. Noah Dobson's been awesome throughout this malaise. So, yeah, like they've done their part. It's the in weird fashion. It's the rest of the team that's kind of let them down.
Yeah.
Not the Brock Nelson line, of course, notwithstanding, because they've been good too. And I think a lot of what is sticking out with me, and is going to stick with me forever, and I do keep going back to like these militaristic kind of analogies, and I apologize, but my friend Eric Nidell, who did the Weird Islanders, Chris Simon, one of our best podcast episodes ever, I think, just such a fun Islander to unpack, said that we should all get hats that say, you know, like veteran. You'll see people with like World War II veterans, and this was like veteran Islanders Western Canada road trip 2023, because it did feel like a little bit campaigny. It felt like an ill-fated campaign, and I do think maybe some of my thinking here is being influenced by, I'm listening to this podcast called The Rest Is History, which I've talked about before, and they're doing a 8-part epic about Hernan Cortez's campaign through Mexico, and it's just it's an unbelievable bit of podcasting, and I highly recommend it to anyone who likes adventure stories or history. And I feel in a weird way like the Islanders went on this campaign, and like that campaign, like all these twists and turns happened, they kind of just walked into them. And here, step one was walking into Edmonton, an absolute circus of a season for the Oilers. People are, I mean, the streets are on fire in Edmonton, basically. New coach in town. Columns being Mark Spector is like lobbing lawsuits basically at the at the old coach, and almost like dancing on his grave because Jay Woodcroft got fired and he didn't. It's absolute peak Canadians hockey market on fire, and the Islanders come out and they score 40 seconds in against a goaltender who has been absolutely terrible this season. It's been their main bugaboo, scoring their first shot or so, and they don't take advantage of this wounded animal. Like, you couldn't have drawn it up any worse for the Oilers, for Chris Knobloch. So they run into a new manager bounce in step one of this campaign, and it only gets weirder from here. This was the least weird of these games. It was the Islanders played all right.
Yeah.
then they just gave the game away to it was both the least weird but also Harbinger, the most Harbinger-y game of them all, because everything that happened in this game just ended up happening in weirder fashion the next games of this trip. And it sounds like we're talking about these guys were away for years. Like they were just whacking bush and swatting away mosquitoes in a jungle somewhere, but they were gone for a week.
Yeah.
And the scars are, like I said, they are going to be with me. Our last episode was titled "We Saw This Coming," because we did. Mm. And not only did we see that, like the results kind of looking like they would, but we knew this was going to be a fucked up week.
Yeah.
Like 3 weeks ago, we're like, just circle this week because something, there's something out there waiting for us. I don't know if it's like a chupacabra or a couple of like, you know, a historically bad penalty kill. There's something waiting for us. If maybe the team gets abducted. A couple weeks ago, I think when they flew to Boston, their plane like ran off the runway.
Yeah.
So like there's just been, there's been signs from the universe that shit was just really about to get, it's not even hitting the fan. Because hitting the fan is an understatement. That's just, you know, that's nothing. Islander fan, shit hits the fan 8 times a season for the Islanders. Right. This was, you know, shit missing the fan and then hitting your loved ones and you're watching them and being, and you couldn't do anything about it. Like this is a new, this was just a new one for me. And we're only one game in to talking about it.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, there's a sort of like traveling circus quality to it. And again, because the Islanders are not really talked about, we'll talk about some national figures talking about the Islanders later on as well. But like, it feels like they roll into a town. Nobody knows anything about these guys. They think that this is still the team from like 2-3 years ago that is like, you know, tough defensively or whatever. And that they don't realize that they can't kill a penalty to save their lives. They can't lock down a game in the third period to save their lives. Half the team just doesn't score. And the guys that are pretty good at distributing the puck and have, you know, the best possession numbers and play driving numbers in the team don't score all that often. And so there's just not a lot of people that know about this. And then, you know, they roll in and again, they play pretty well. And then all of a sudden they fall apart and the whole place goes nuts because, you know, their team is making a big comeback. And it's almost like you're sitting there being like, guys, we knew this was going to happen. Like, again, I could have told you this exactly how this was going to play out. And like you said, it's just the same thing happened in Vancouver, except they lost in overtime. Again, they had a 3-1 lead. Horvat scored to make it 3-1. There was, you know, he was crying in the video. It was a whole big thing. Looked like, okay, now they can take it. You know, this team is wobbling. The Canucks hadn't played that well to that point. But then Brock Besser scores. And then Noah Dobson and J.G. Pageau get called for 2 penalties at the same exact time, meaning a 2-minute 5-on-3 for Vancouver. Filip Hronek ties the game. The Islanders try to pressure late in the period after basically falling asleep for a period or so. Doesn't work, and then Quinn Hughes scores.
Yeah,
a ridiculous
puck cleared off the line.
Yeah,
Palmieri gets that open net shot saved by Demko. Someone hit a crossbar.
Yeah,
it was nuts. They didn't deserve to win that game in regulation, but I just wanted to add that context because it weird stuff just continued to happen.
Yeah, and I mean that Hughes goal that won it just I don't know where everybody went. Like the puck just bounced off the boards and it angled perfectly onto his stick and he strolled in and scored. And like it was the Islanders were the Canucks were 3-for-6 on the power play. The broadcast, it was a TNT game, of course, because it was like Horvat's return game, and it was like Brendan was there and I think Jennifer Botterill was on the call, and you thought, oh, all right, and Panger was there. We love Panger, as we've said. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe this crew, you know, will make this game palatable. That was a Canucks hockey broadcast. That was basically a Sportsnet broadcast. They barely talked about the Islanders at any point, except for Horvat, obviously. So they made the whole thing just a million times worse. And again, like you said, this is the thing that drives me crazy. They had the team. This team has no killer instinct whatsoever. They had a team. The Canucks, again, had not, with all due respect, had not played well for half the game. The Islanders were up 3-1. Another, you know, couple of plays and a couple of goals here and there would have sealed that game away. And they just let them back in and then lost on a very, very embarrassing goal in overtime. And you're just left with like, okay, there's a point. That's great. But they've lost six in a row and just got pantsed on national TV and in front of, you know, all these people that were, you know, looking forward to this Horvat game. So, yeah, it's just there's a real surreal quality to it. All of this. It's just so bizarre. But it's like you're the only one watching the show. You know what I'm saying?
It's and I'll continue to go back to this campaign kind of metaphor, which is, you know, when you're watching war movies or reading about these sprawling wars, there's always a company that just ends up getting kind of detached from the rest of the army, and they got to go off. And I mean, Saving Private Ryan is a perfect example. Like, there's a small team; they're on their own mission as part of the bigger mission, right? Like, so they're going through this crazy situation on their own. Like, they're fighting in a completely different. They're fighting the same war, but they're not. There's very little shared experience here because they're going through something completely different from the rest of the armed forces at large. Which is, I think, how Islander fans feel right, at the moment. Which is, hockey fans all go through ups and downs, twists and turns, not just in a game, but over a course of a season, a course of a few games, a week, a road trip. But what we went through was, we were like lost at sea, fighting off sea animals, and cut back to the shore and be like, oh, everyone's like, oh man, yeah, this has been crazy. What a season this has been. Like, you have no idea. And they're like, everyone goes through it. Like, no, I just saw a giant squid eat my friend. This is very, very strange.
I just saw J.G. Pageot trip somebody after Noah Dobson got called for boarding or whatever the hell it was, interference. And I just, it's so strange. I want to point out, by the way, another example where you're talking about from the movies, Saving Private Ryan is a great example, but the opening of The Suicide Squad has one Suicide Squad getting massacred on a beach and the real Suicide Squad, you know, sliding in on the same island a little while away, and they get separated like that. So it's kind of like that. But yeah, I will never forget watching that in disbelief, that whole 2-minute penalty thing. And I was like,
like you said, the Islanders, or what we were saying, so they walk into the Oilers circus and they get to play the coach in his first game.
Right.
So everybody's got their, you know, Jim Matheson, it's Spectre, and the whole Sportsnet crew. Everyone's got their quills sharpened, man.
Yeah.
This is a big moment in the season for these folks. And then the Islanders, so they lose that game, and then they stroll into Vancouver, everybody's favorite team. How many times do we have to hear everyone say that this is the best team in Canada right now, as if that matters? It's like a thing, like they give out a trophy or something, a very hypothetical, invisible trophy for the best team in Canada. And it's just, and so they stroll into Vancouver. They're running hot. Everyone loves this team. How many times have we heard that Quinn Hughes and JT Miller and Elias Pettersson are leading the league and scoring like 1, 2, and 3 at the moment? So it's, here come the Islanders into this circus, a circus in better spirits than the one in Edmonton. And they have the main attraction, which is Bo Horvat returning. So we have to deal with this. He was awesome. Like when the shit does go like this and you get home or it ends, you do have like a new appreciation for some people. And man, do I love Bowie Horvat, dude. This guy is, he's great. I knew this is a great Islander player. This guy's awesome. He rocks. He ends up scoring 3-1 lead. And everybody who was watching that game deep in their bones knew it, probably said it out loud to kind of reverse jinx it. There are so many more twists and turns left in this game.
Yeah.
And there were, like you said, the double penalty, the Islanders end up losing in overtime. It was their second game of the season where they had given up no 5-on-5 goals.
Yep.
And at least three power play goals and lost in overtime. And guess what? It wouldn't be their last.
Nope.
so all this weird stuff happens. And because of how it ended and because of Horvat and the crying and everything, nobody really talked about, holy shit, man. Did you guys watch the Islanders in this game?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they were carrying sticks the way that this game like played out. It was so weird. They did everything they could to shoot themselves. Like there were the Barzells and the Horvats and the Nelsons pulling the rope, and everybody else was pulling it in the other direction. Just absolute carnage. And it was at 10 o'clock at night. So you're watching this game. I watched this game in bed. Emily was sleeping next to me. And I was like, I know that I should go downstairs for this third period because I know what's about to happen. And I don't want to wake her up and I don't want to piss her off. But at the same time, the Islanders are winning. I don't want to mess with the juju. Yep. I'm comfortable, etc. I should have just went downstairs because, like, I was just, I used the word retching before. That's what it was. And then I was up till 1:30 in the morning, 1:45, whatever, texting with Islander fans all over the map, trying to. The game didn't even matter. Like, the result wasn't a matter. It was more of a conversation about what are we doing with our lives than. Damn, I'm pissed that the Islanders lost. I wasn't even mad at the team anymore. I couldn't
go to sleep. I had to go to sleep at 2 o'clock. I stayed up for an extra hour watching Thor: The Dark World on cable with commercials because I couldn't go right to sleep. And I had to work the next day, like everybody, because it was the same thing. Like, I don't know how to process what I just watched because it was so bizarre. One other bizarre thing, by the way, I did not realize this until just now. Did you know this? That Dobson and Pageau's twin penalties at the same time were both on the same player. They were both on Andre Kuzmenko. Dobson slashed him and then Pageau tripped him. So,
and I thought that the Pageau trip ended up was like after the whistle. So I was like, oh, they're not going to call him. But I guess it wasn't. And in that game too, we should also note, the Islanders went 2-for-2 on the power play in the first period, in the first 10 minutes, and they didn't get another call. So it was...
Engvall, his first goal of the season, by the way.
Yeah, Engvall. And I can't even remember who scored. Horvat, and Nelson. I can't remember. Nelson, right? Of course.
Right.
It was
a bizarre game that took you completely out of, like, it was like an out-of-body experience. And the next day on the 32 Thought, well, on the Jeff Merrick show, I think it was, or was it 32 Thoughts? I forget. But, like, they were talking about this game, Jeff and Elliot. And, like, Jeff said, the one thing he said that made sense was, like, the Islanders weren't playing with as a team with a lot of confidence, and the Canucks were. And that is 100% correct. But, like, they were talking about this team as if they didn't watch the game at all. They're just like, you know, the Islanders usually play a tight defensive system, and the Canucks were all over them. Dude, they haven't played a tight defensive system in 2 or 3 years. What the hell are you talking about? The last time they were tight defensively was in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple of years ago. Like, that's not this
team. The Islanders just, to these people, the Islanders haven't played a single second of hockey since then. They just got back from Tampa. Tough loss for these guys. Let's see how they can pick themselves back up. But guys missed the two seasons in between where the Islanders have just driven us all insane.
And on another completely random topic, like they were talking because they were talking about Horvat. That's what it was. They were talking about Horvat, and they were like, people cheered him and some booed him. And Elliot once again said, you know, some people booed him, but, you know, I guess the time there didn't really mean much to them. I mean, look at Islanders fans with Tavares. He played great for 9 years and they still boo him. Again, Friege, I know you're not listening to this, but I'm going to say it again. We boo him because he told us he was going to stay and then he left. We're not booing, you know, we didn't just choose to boo him after nine. We know he played great for the Islanders for 9 years. We're not stupid. We watched this team, unlike you, right? Like, he told us he was going to stay and then he left. That's why we boo him still. Get it through your head, please. I'm begging you. I hate being this mad at this guy, but it was just bizarre. And again, the fact that it was like in front of the world on national TV, in front of all of Canada, it just, I don't know. It was a very surreal experience.
Yeah. And you said Brendan calling it also gave it a very.
Yes.
Almost like creepy. am I asleep and being like held hostage or something? Like, am I being tortured? What's going on here? Why is he calling this game on?
Panger was like having a great time. He was in his glory, but
every time he got excited, Clutterbuck.
Well, he did talk a little about Clutterbuck, but he was so excited every time the Canucks made a play. He was so excited. Like, Panger, what are you doing? Yeah.
No, he talked about Cal Clutterbuck because I guess Clutterbuck like covered his eyes or something. But I went to bed that night, finally fell asleep, woke up the next morning, and in a weird way, I felt at peace. And I talked about this last episode, I believe, which is that we knew this was coming. We saw that we knew the Islanders were about to be on some strange rainforest jungle kind of campaign, and the anticipation of it is going to be worse than actually being in it. Cause when you're in it, you're like in the present and just dealing with it rather than just waiting. Cause hell, there is a jaguar lurking for you in the darkness. and he's gonna he might eat you alive. Like, that is much more I think heavy on the mind than actually just dealing with it when you're actually in it. And so I woke up that next morning at peace, because it's like, that was it. That was that was the fight with the jaguar here.
Right.
You know, we got through it. It's over. It might not get better, but it can't get worse than that. And I, like I said, I felt at peace about that. And about 30 seconds into the game against the Kraken, I hated myself for thinking that.
Well, I don't know if the game against Seattle was necessarily worse. It ended up with the same amount of points as the Islanders, and it actually went further. But it was, again, for the third time now, cut from the same cloth. So they had
a... I think this is why it was worse, because it came after the Canucks game.
Probably, yeah. So, I mean, the Islanders only had a first, had a 1-0 lead. Lee finally shows up. Beautiful goal on the power play again from Horvat. The Kraken get two quick ones from Beniers and then Wenberg. Adam Pellick just, like, decided to, like, get down on all fours for some reason as the puck was sliding past him. I don't know what was going through his head at the time. But, you know, all right, down 2-1. That's not that bad. All cracking in the second period, but Casey Cizikas scores a nice goal. Again, they tie it up. It's tied at 2-2. Forget how bad you were in the second period. Now is a chance to establish yourself in this third period. Walk out with 2 points. And Noah Dobson gets a power play goal. Great. Everything's working perfectly. And then Yamamoto ties the game. He gets on his own power play goal again against the Kraken's third of the game. And then OT was mostly Islanders, but nothing really kind of dangerous happened. And then it went 8 rounds in the shootout, and Kailer Yamamoto wins it there too. So, like, this one, I don't know. I felt like the Kraken had also were a wounded animal. They had lost a bunch of games in a row. The Islanders were coming in with 6 to 8 losses. Of course, they would make it 7. And, like, this one just, I don't know. I don't even know how to describe this one. It was just, it felt a lot like the Canucks game. Only they made it a little, it's like a video game. Like, you've made it a little bit further, but you still lost, you know, but like you're inching your way towards finally getting a win. And we'll talk about that game in Calgary next. But like after the weirdness of the huge disappointment of the Edmonton game, and then the incredibly weird surrealness of the Canucks game, this felt a lot more normal, but also 8 round shootouts are not normal. Giving up 3 power play goals in a game again is not normal. It's just, you know, nothing about it was normal. Casey Zika scoring beautiful goals in the, you know, 5-hole backhand, not normal. Barzell of all people. So, like, in retrospect, this one is very weird. But at the time, I don't know, maybe I was just kind of like beaten down from the first two games that I did.
Yeah.
With that weird at the time.
It wasn't as funky as the Canucks game, for sure. But I think it, of the three, and probably of all 6 losses or 7 losses on this losing streak, this was probably the one that ate at me the most, even though the Islanders ended up getting a point out of it, because it was the same script, just without some of the... And this is kind of what I was getting back to with that World War One analogy, which is, hey, we just went over the top. I saw what happened. Right. You know, I watched, you know, the double penalty, the heartbreak in overtime. I watched my boys, the uncles, skate off the ice dejected. Saw Bo Horvat cry. I just went over the top. I don't want to do it again. I know exactly what's going to happen. No, you got to still go. Go right back over the top. Same thing happens, save for the Bo Horvat tears. And this, I think the reason why this one made me the most upset was because I knew that there was a very good chance that I was going to stay up till 1:30 in the morning again and go to sleep extremely disappointed in myself again. And I'd have to sit through this game alone in the dark, watch the Islanders do the same shit over and over again. And when you lay it out before the game, you're like, well, there's no way what we saw last night is going to happen again, because the chances of the Islanders losing a game where they just give up 3+ power play goals and blow leads late and just keep taking stupid penalties, the chances are so minute. Holy shit, they're doing it again. And here I am alone watching it. And there was, you know, I had, like I said, all week talking with Islander fans, from you to every, like all these people that I stay in touch with, about the team. Some people, like, I'm going to bed, and God bless those people. It's the right thing to do. And I don't know what is harder to grasp, which is, can you imagine? Because you and I sat through these games, so we saw it happen. Right. And you wanted to gouge your own eyes out because it was happening again. So let's separate the fans into three different cohorts. There's the group that, like you and I, stayed up for both games, had this back-to-back, went to bed angry, mostly at ourselves. Then there's the group that stayed up for one of the two, went, and one of the nights they went to bed angry. Perhaps the second night they took off because they just didn't want to go through it again.
Right.
And then there's the third group that just was like, I'm not staying up for this team. They don't deserve it. And then all power to all three groups. Can you imagine waking up in the morning of after that Kraken game and just pulling open the score, or waking up in the middle of the night being like, oh, let me check the score while I'm up, and seeing that the exact same thing happened again? I feel so bad for those people in those like 30 seconds or so where they had to come to grips with that. That they just are looking at the screen and being like, how on earth? Because your mind has just been going in a million different directions, trying to piece together how it happened again. And it did. And I thought that game too, like Barzal and Horvat, Nelson, these guys were great. And they were just some, I think you said they got to stop playing like assholes. There were a lot of people playing like assholes in that game against the Kraken. Yes. Scott Mayfield on that third power play goal, Adam Pellick, like,
yeah,
right. it was really tough to watch these guys. And I was happy Brendan pointed something out when the Kraken, after they scored their second goal, the Islanders were something like 2 for their last 11 or 12 on the penalty kill. And he's like, and by the way, two of those two kills were 3 seconds long. Like it was.
So yeah, that's funny.
Man. I don't know. It's
yeah.
The power play is working so well.
Yeah.
That's also true. I mean, how is that not driving everyone insane?
I don't know. And because it's a complete flip 180 of how this team usually works. Usually their penalty kill is lights out and their power play is maybe okay at best. Now that so far the power play has been scorching hot and they cannot kill a penalty to save their lives. The best part about this game, and I think I texted you this, is that we didn't have to hear John Forslund call it. Because if I had to hear, that's hockey, baby, 4 times, and then in the shootout, I probably would have just quit on the entire season. Like, I don't want to hear it. It would haunt me to the rest of my days. But it just, I feel like the other thing about this game was that profile-wise, it was a lot lower than the ones that they had just played. Again, Edmonton, all eyes were on Edmonton because of the Oilers coaching situation, and then they won. So everybody's kind of, you know, exhaling and thinking, this is going to be great. Of course, then I think the Oilers next drop the next two or something like that, whatever. And then obviously Vancouver, you know, with Horvat situation and all that circus is kind of going on. So this was kind of thankfully back into sort of the darkness and, okay, this is our own problem now. And that's what I think made it feel kind of not that weird, but it was strange. And all the other thing about the Seattle game that I want to mention before we move on to Calgary is that for a minute, it seemed like Jordan Eberle was going to have scored the shootout winner. Which would have been kind of poetic in a way. He had been hurt. They didn't know if he was going to come back. He came back. He comes back and he scores a shootout winner against his old team. I forgot who tied it for the Islanders after.
Wallstrom.
So it was Wallstrom. So yeah. And then Yamamoto won it right after. But I was like, oh, come on. That would have been maybe too much to take, honestly.
That shootout, too, was so psychotic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I know the Islanders ended up winning a shootout where the other team scored first. But I think this team leads the league in shootout losses after scoring first over the last decade or something. Because I think they went 0-for-5 in chances to win in both save and it needing just a save or a goal. Because I think Holmstrom could have scored to win it. Palmieri, Nelson, Pageau, and then Varley could have, if he saved Bjorkstrand's shot. So I don't, to lose a shootout in that fashion is really hard to do.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring this up tonight too, because if you remember on a pre-season preview episode, I talked about one of the reasons I was optimistic about this Islanders season was that this team is talented enough and has the goaltending and should have some sort of like just winning culture and smarts that I thought it'd be pretty hard for the Islanders to go on a long losing streak. And it was like they didn't do this the easy way. They found a way to turn a stretch of decent play, really good power play, into a losing streak. Like all the things that have ailed the Islanders over the past 3-4 seasons, they have turned around. They're getting production from the Barzal line. They've got the second line humming. The power play is working. Dobson's been great. Everything that they needed to work has been working, and yet they still have found a way to go on their annual jaunt. So in a way, I like to think I was right, that it would be really hard for this team to go on an extended losing streak, because it has been. This is a 1 in a million losing streak that we're going through. Like I was saying earlier on, this is one that's going to live with you. There's so many losing streaks over the course of my Islander career that I can think about. The Wovembers with under Capuano and Gordon, for sure. The Trots one where going into the bubble when it was just they just couldn't score last year too, when they were scoring 1 or 0 goals a game for a couple weeks straight. This one is gonna it's seared into my brain, and something that we'll be talking about on this podcast. I think every time they go out to Western Canada now, I'm just gonna be thinking about Chris Knobloch and Dave Haxtell kind of looking alike, and all the weird
yeah,
shit
true.
And Rick Tocchet's mic'd up, baby.
Oh my god, yeah.
God, punch me in the face, please.
He's mic'd up to say absolutely nothing of importance whatsoever. But yeah, this was, and I don't know. There's just so many things that they could have at any point gotten off the ride and then just chose not to. And that's the thing that drives you crazy. It's like, at any point, doesn't anybody want to win a game here? And that's where I came out at the end of the Seattle game. And so fast forward to Saturday night in Calgary. And I have to confess, I did not watch this game live. I watched AEW Full Gear, which was fantastic, by the way. But I did catch the replay of this. And so they ended up winning 5-4 in the shootout. Wahlstrom would figure prominently again, because not only did he score the shootout winner, he was on the ice for all 4 goals against. It gets in regulation, which is like shocking. Dude, what are you doing out there? And obviously the third line, you said before, you know, the first 2 lines are really working well. That third line remains a complete disaster. And this was also a different kind of game in the sense that the Islanders went down 1-0 kind of early. Martin Pospisil just got around Alex Romanov and scored, but then Hudson Fashing tied the game. Palmieri and Barzal scored in the second. Barzal sort of cruising through the slot. Andrew Gross said he was like a shark out there. Again, 3-1 Islanders. That's great. We're cruising here. Somebody named Nick DeSimone from East Amherst, just outside of Buffalo, scores. He doesn't score. He passes. He holds on to the puck for a long time. Everybody's out of position. He passes over to Blake Coleman, who scores basically to an open net. Mackenzie Weegar ties the game in the third. Nelson unties the game at 4-3 with a backhand on a rebound. Igor Sharangovich tips in a Noah Hanifin shot to tie the game again late in the third. And then it's Horvat and Wahlstrom in the shootout. I don't even know what to... I'm watching this and I'm like, how was this... In a way, it's par for the course for this bizarre trip. But like the fact that the Islanders came out on top is again makes the other three just feel that much worse, because it's just it was that close that they could have walked away. Could you imagine if there was something flipped in some alternate universe in which they won 3 of those games and then lost the 1 in Calgary? It would be like, well, this was a great trip, even though they didn't play all that well. But it's the opposite for we're in the universe where they played, you know, okay, and only walked away with 2 points in 3 games and then a 2-point, you know, win in the fourth one. So I don't know. I'm not even sure how to even this. The other thing about this too is like and we've talked about this before at different points too, like when you're rebuilding and there's nothing expected of you, a road trip like this does not surprise you. It's just, okay, well, they just lost or they just won one of these four. Okay, whatever. But like here, when again, they're only a couple of points out of the playoffs as we speak now, the Flyers and Penguins have won. So, I mean, the Islanders right now are only 3 points but out of third place in the Metro. The Caps have 20 and the Islanders have 17. Yes, there's a bunch of teams to jump over, but nothing is really all that lost here. So there's still expectations that they could make the playoffs, but man, this is just so it's demoralizing and confusing. And I don't even know how else to really describe. I mean, I've said this now 15 times in the last 45 minutes. How do we even describe what we just watched? Like it's not even, yeah. And how do you describe to other people who watched it along? What do Flames fans think of what they watched? Wow. That's a weird game. Usually the Islanders are pretty buttoned up. No, they're not. This is par for the course for this team. Just play weird games and they don't win enough of them to save the coach's job. At least it's not as far as I can think. But I mean, you watch this. What did you make of the Calgary game while it was happening?
Once again, we'll say that
the
Horvat line was really good.
Yeah. Sorry, we keep repeating ourselves here, but
Brock Nelson was really good. Yeah.
they all played out more or less the same way.
Yeah. I thought the Islanders were really pretty decent throughout this entire game. And then I was so mad at Oliver Wahlstrom. Mm. Especially after the fourth goal, because the building just lit up as it should have. The Flames tied the game pretty late. Islanders looked dejected, and I was like, this entire trip. You know what's crazy too, before I go into that, is so we're now 45 minutes into this episode where we've talked about these games at length and kind of just the internal mental struggle that they put you through as a fan. And like you said, right off the top, the Islanders coach is probably fired tomorrow and we barely talked about it because it's kind of just a footnote in it all. It's right. They didn't even need a coach for this. They didn't need a coach. The Islanders didn't need a coach. I said before, like, it was like they were playing without sticks. They were doing something so different from playing National Hockey League hockey this week. So, so we get to this incredibly crucial point of the Islanders season where they're up 4-3. They give up a lead. Brock Nelson, God bless the man, scores right after to get the Islanders like back out in front, and you're like it was just tonic. Like it was chicken soup for the soul. Dare I say we deserved that. the hockey gods were like, Jesus, we didn't mean for the Flames to score there. Could just let Brock score again. Then the hockey gods are kind of looking out for us in this game a little bit, it feels like. And then Oliver Wahlstrom just loses a battle.
Yeah.
And then instead of finding his, he was so caught up with not taking a penalty that he loses position. Then he loses the battle and then completely thwacks the play out of rhythm.
Yeah.
That obviously leads to the Flames scoring. And it was at that point that people are like, he's dash four. He's minus four on the night. And at that time I'm thinking, yeah, the hockey gods were looking out for us. And then they said, there's nothing we can do about this one. Like you guys deserve everything you get for what he just did. And the coach probably deserves what he gets because he had him on the ice despite being minus three in this game and not playing well at all in this situation. And they get through overtime. Sorokin with a couple of good saves. I thought this win was very important for him. Another weird shootout where Bo Horvat scores because we love the guy. And I was getting a little nervous because I thought that the game before against the Kraken, I don't care how coaches generally set up the shootout because I truly think that it's after your first two guys. I mean, it's kind of hard to sort the rest out. But for the Islanders, like they kind of have a shootout specialist in Wahlstrom. So I was apparently, like, why is he not? Yeah, why is he not? Even like, I think he scored the game winner in the last time they won last season too. And he's got that shot. And I thought against Seattle, I was like, why is he not shooting third or fourth here and hopefully getting the Islanders out of here with the win? And he ended up going to save them. But then against the Flames, I was really nervous that Lambert, because Wahlstrom was so bad that night, was just going to punish him. So I took a deep breath when he came over the ice. And I was like, I kind of feel good about this. It would be kind of poetic that he makes amends somehow with this goal, and he does. And what I was really proud, because after the game, most Islander fans were like, I still am really mad at this guy for the way he's playing, because he shows you like a little glimmer, and they're always so brief, and you're like, God, just do that, just be that player.
Yeah,
and there every team in the league has guys that drives them nuts. But most of the time, those guys will give you like four or five games of a stretch where you're like, wow, he's been pretty good lately. Mm. With him, it's like a game and a half of just a flash. And you're like, God, just keep doing that, man. Do it for
sometimes
three more games.
Sometimes it's a shift. Sometimes it's a period. Shift,
yeah. Just be like, can you just, if you just do that for even three more games, you can take the next three off. I don't care. Yeah. But you got to like just even it out the scales. Yeah. And he just never has. And it's driving us nuts. And if he was the one to kind of undo all the hard work that this team had put in for that game, I don't know how I would have done it.
That was another thing that Friege brought up. They're like, well, you know, Wahlstrom might be feeling like he's not getting an opportunity here. And I felt like being like, he's not getting an opportunity. He's playing with Barzal. He's on the power play. He's like, he's doing all, he's getting all the opportunity he can right now. I don't know. I think he was just making that up. I don't think that's what Wally thinks, but like,
and
it was a little bit of disconnect there, but yeah, I mean, but the funny thing is, like, shootout winners don't really count for most people. So, like, the minus four kind of supersedes.
One other weird phenomenon about this game, too, was because it was on the West Coast as part of this road trip. When the game ended, I thought it was, like, 1 in the morning. But it was about 9:45 p.m. So I was just like, oh, God.
It was hockey night in Canada, man. I can imagine people being like, oh, why did we watch this? Why are we getting this now?
I just couldn't like grasp reality at the time. I was having such a mental breakdown. The anguish that this team put you through there.
That's what I was going to say. This whole week has been like a week of psychological torture. Like the Islanders put a bag over all of our heads and showed us all this weird stuff and like made us run through all this crazy thing. And then at the end, you're just, thank God it's over. And now we can move on with life. We're going to take a break now. We'll come back. We'll talk about the coach. We'll talk about the next three games this week, which are against teams that theoretically the Islanders can get points against. But again, with this team, you just never know. And then we're also going to talk about a very bizarre article that was in the Post today, just real quick, because we got a lot to get to. But meet us on the other side.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty,
and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So as Mike mentioned before, throughout all of this, we haven't really talked much about Lane Lambert, who we suspect, and I think a lot of people suspect, will probably be shown the door maybe Monday. The Islanders have off until Wednesday when their next game is against the Philadelphia Flyers. And it just makes too much sense. It would be really strange for ownership and management to not read the room and notice that the fan confidence in Lane is zero, basically. And, you know, yes, a lot of bizarre stuff happened in this game, but as a coach, I feel like it's kind of on you to limit the amount of bizarre stuff. And I started the Lane era not wanting to compare him too much to Barry Trotz, but screw it, because I think it's almost over. And the thing, one of the things about Trotz that always got, but I always remember, is he always talked about being predictable. He wanted predictability. He wanted players to know where their teammates were going to be, and they want to know where they were going to be, so that everybody knew what to do in any situation, and they could be comfortable in uncomfortable situations, as they said, because they had the game plan, they knew how to execute it, and they could just get it done. That has completely flown out the window under Barry's predecessor or successor, the guy who stood by him the whole time. And I forget who it was on Twitter who was just like, I cannot believe that this guy worked with Barry Trotz this entire time. And this is completely different to what we've witnessed, you know, in that era under Trotz. And I think he's just going to end up being the guy who gets called for it, because you can't fire everybody. But really, you can't fire all the players, as the saying goes. But really, a lot of this is on him. Why is this team so loose in third periods? Why can they not lock anything down? Why is there no defensive structure? Why are, you know, forwards freelancing all the time and not really getting back and helping people? And that's all coach stuff. Like, I don't know who else is on the hook for this. And if the players are going to be mad about it and not like that their friend got fired, well, I'm sorry. It's kind of on you too. Like, you let this happen, and they can't possibly think that this is okay. You can't go through a whole season where you cannot win a third period. It's crazy. And I'm sorry, but that just kind of falls on the coach. Now, of course, if he keeps his job, we kind of look kind of silly, but I don't think we're being wrong in taking the temperature of the fan base right now and saying that they want Lane gone. It's just that simple.
Yeah. I think you'd be pretty hard pressed to find somebody who, wants the Islanders to stay status quo.
Yeah. I mean, early this season, yes. And even up to about a week ago, yes. But now, I mean, come on. Like, what we just watched, come on.
I think you put it right. Like, it's not the coach's job to go out there and not slash the stick out of someone's hand when your penalty kill is shooting at 8%, or not to trip the guy after your teammate just cross-checked the guy on the same play, or not, you know, it's not his fault if you know, Oliver Wahlstrom just coughs the puck up for no reason. But when all these things happen, and they're all part of one big recipe, it's a coach's job to be like, yeah, like, this has to change. It just has to change. And it's his job to change the entire, like, the bigger picture. The little things you got to be able to live with and deal with. And this team just can't. Every little thing that goes awry at the worst possible time.
Seriously.
I thought that the penalty they called on Lee against the Kraken, there was a bad one against the Canucks too. And then was that the Canucks game? There was a bad one against, oh no, that was against the Oilers, after Leon Draisaitl cross-checked Bo Horvat in the calf. And then Lee took that stupid interference penalty, and I say stupid, not that Lee's penalty was stupid, it was a stupid call, it was a bad call, and then they got him for a bad slash. But for the most part, I think that the Islanders' penalties have been penalties. That's not saying that the calls have been even going the other way, but they've been penalties. And So just this whole endemic mistake, kind of these mistakes being endemic is the word that you used last week. That's on the coach. Like, it put the guardrails up.
Yeah.
Don't let this team put themselves in a place where they're playing loose and risky where, oh God, the guy just beat me, so now I got to take a penalty. Make them play this structured 1-3. I don't care what, like, we don't care. Just make them install the system that you used down the stretch last year when everybody's like, this team's playing fine. They're playing well. I think that I don't want to say I'd be shocked if when the Islanders take the ice for practice on Monday morning, Lambert is the coach, because I don't know if I would be shocked. Because I truly have no idea what's going on here. And there were rumors of John Hines, you know, eating dinner at Brian and Cooper or something. And you know, there's always gonna be weird stuff that pops up with this team, because
people want Jay Woodcroft, the guy who just got fired in Edmonton. Why? I just don't
I don't know what the, we almost laugh at fans with, like, we just need a change here. But when you get to this point, you just do. Like, you can't, this team can't keep going into these games with 3-2 leads and this guy being behind the bench, because they know if they make a mistake,
right,
who cares? That's just what we've been doing. And no one's going to pay for it.
Yeah. I don't want to throw around the big C word, even though we have a podcast called Country Club Atmosphere. I don't want to throw around that word, but it's pretty bad. And I think Lane may have lost, those fans who were online, I think he might have lost some more of them this week when he's like, some of those penalties have been called against us have been questionable. So I've told him to watch out for that. It's like, it's not the way you should be approaching this, pal. Like, those refs, they don't know anything. Come on. That wasn't a penalty. Like, don't worry about not killing that penalty. That wasn't your fault anyway. The refs shouldn't have called that. What? No, that's not how it works. And it's just, I feel bad. I'm sure Lane is a great guy. Casey Cizikas obviously came to bat for him, and I'm sure the players love him and we're excited to have him be the head coach, but it just ain't working. It just ain't working.
I think there's one team in the league that it wouldn't be a slam dunk that tomorrow morning he's gone. And it's the New York Islanders. Like, if any other team came into the season with our sort of expectations and timeline, everybody would be, he's gone. Like, there's no way at all. But the Islanders are just operating in their own little universe way, their own, there was the Cardinals way in baseball and the Patriots way in football. And usually those things mean that they've won championships, winning, playing and acting a certain way. The Islander way, as much as we love it, is not, hasn't ended up in any of the hardware, but there is a way here. And because of that way, I can't say for certainty that he'll be back. But I think that it's gotten to the point now where if the Islanders do make a coaching change, everyone would say, that's 1,000% logical, called for, not a surprise at all. And if the Islanders don't make a coaching change and these things continue, then they're at the risk of, why didn't you change it when you could have, when there was a very kind of clear line of demarcation coming back from this insane road trip.
Yeah.
And speaking of Casey Cizikas, man, like, you told all these fans to stay home. We stayed home this weekend or this week, and we stayed up late this week. And boy, I am really upset that I did.
It's true.
I've got no idea what else is going on in the world.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's not a bad thing. But but then it gets to, who's going to replace him. That's always, this is where I get afraid of, like, the do something cartoon guy you see on Twitter. Like, I don't want John Hines. He's not a guy who has ever instilled any sort of confidence in me whatsoever through the Devils, through the Predators. He's working for San Jose, I believe, now, but no thanks. I you know, Jay Woodcroft, again, I don't know why. I don't understand it. I don't know why Gerard Gallant's name hasn't come up as a replacement. Do I think he'd be great? I don't know. I mean, I've liked him as, you know, when he was coaching. He was an Islanders assistant coach.
Yeah.
So that'd be kind of funny. Seeing him on the Islanders bench and Peter Laviolette on the Rangers bench would be kind of a weird thing. But I think that would be a possibility. People have been saying Bruce Boudreau, but I'm pretty sure he's working with a junior club right now. I don't know who else is that. You know, Jacques Lemaire does work for the Islanders. Jeez. And I posed that to somebody and they're like, why would you want Jacques Lemaire? He hasn't been behind the bench in 10 years. I'm like, I feel like the players would listen to Jacques Lemaire. Like, it's kind of stupid. And I'm not saying I would be excited, but like, I feel like, you know, much like happened with Barry Trotz walking in after winning the cup, I think people are like, oh shit, we got to listen to this guy. Jacques Lemaire walks into the room, you want to hear from Jacques, right? So I feel like the other thing too that drives me crazy, and we talked about this, is that like we heard that the players had started chafing under Trotz. They were getting tired of playing that defensive system. And I totally get that. I totally understand that. Again, Barry was let go because he was kind of burnt out and he wanted to get into management. And I get that too. But like, maybe Barry was onto something, you know, maybe there's a reason that Barry preached that structure and wanted to play with that structure, because when you have, you know, a roster that may not have the top end talent that other teams have, that's how you win games. And frankly, this Islanders team is more talented than the ones that Barry had and is getting worse results. So again, maybe Barry was onto something and, you know, playing that structure helps. And these guys better figure it out, because they need that structure to win games. They're just not going to win freelancing like this. And this is how you blow third periods all the time. And, you know, maybe you get a win or a point in overtime or something, but can't continue. And it's on the coach. It's on the players too, but it's definitely on the coach too. And,
Yeah, it's on the coach. I think for the first time too, in a long time.
Yeah,
on this podcast, we're calling for this.
Yeah.
Rooting for it.
How many years did the Islanders have Jack Capuano as coach, and we had this podcast, and we never once said they got to fire this guy? Like, we talked about maybe there's another losing streak.
Right.
Maybe Jack gets fired. We don't know. It wasn't until he finally left that it was clear that there was a disconnect, and that was like.
Yeah. and you know what's crazy too is with him, I feel like we'd be like, it's tough because he seems to the group seems to like him. He seems like a decent kind of grow the team coach, and then the Islanders would respond to that. Like they would respond. This guy's on the hot seat. I think JG Pageau this week said like he doesn't look at social media, so he hasn't heard anything about his job. And Lambert said he hasn't heard anything about like job security either.
Mm.
But we know that they know. And if you're going to go out against the Vancouver Canucks and just throw up all over yourselves in the third period like that, and then do it again the next night, and your coach is on the hot seat, but no matter what, it sends a weird message no matter what. Like you couldn't get the job done with this guy who you're supposed to be playing for with that. I do want to just mention on the list of coaches you mentioned, because there's no home run.
Right? No,
Barry Trotz isn't out there
anymore.
It's that you're just, there's no home run guy. So I think it's just, and whether or not the Islanders just catch lightning in the bottle or not with whoever replaces Lambert, if he goes. So with that said, since I really don't think there's a surefire slam dunk hire, to me, I'm just rooting for the most hilarity. And I'm having a tough time separating two guys at the top of the hilarity power ranking.
Okay.
And that's Jacques Lemaire and Turk Gallant. Because on one hand, Lemaire just... Can you imagine the reaction from not the island, but just off the island?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. The Islanders just hired another 92-year-old to... it would just be so good.
The Islanders are going to try to win the 1995 Cup.
Who's going to play goalie for them now? Marty Brodeur? Like, is it going to be Marty Brodeur and Kirk McLean? Like, this is might as well just go get Serge Breland and stuff in there. Like, the jokes are just going to be so good. And that spite is what fuels us. And if it works, it just would feel so good. And with Gallant, there's a couple things here. One, who's been discarded more than him as a coach?
Seriously.
Like, wrongly.
Like, cab, the whole thing. Yeah.
Like, going to the conference final and then 110-point season with the Rangers, gone.
Yeah.
Right. Vegas Golden Knights leads them to the Stanley Cup final in their first season ever, gone. Like, this is, this guy would just be that fit the ethos perfectly. And like you said, he was the Rangers coach last year.
Yeah.
And I would say, like, if the Islanders ended up in this, this is a, the season's been such a goddamn Alice in Wonderland nightmare that if it ends up with the Islanders having to deal with the Rangers at some point, I would fucking love it if Turk was behind the bench. Yeah, just love it, because like we'd go into that series as a big underdog no matter what, and having him behind the bench, it's it's just the money on the board situation.
He's an excitable guy. Great. He likes to yell on the bench.
And I think he's the type of guy that when you're looking for a change, like, this lights a spark under the team a little bit.
Yeah.
And there's also the added wrinkle that he was a groomsman in Lane Lambert's wedding.
Damn. Wow. All right. Well, all right. So there you go, everybody. You sold me on this. We have come to a consensus. The next pick is Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, we want Turk.
We want Turk. You know,
I think he grew up, Noah Dobson grew up on his block too.
Oh, maybe. Oh, they, because they're both, PEI
guys. Timers,
So there you go. Yeah. That's, I mean, everything there. I was only just looking at the Islanders assistant coach under Ted Nolan thing, but I like this a lot better. So, all right. Gerard, pick up the phone. It's Lou Lamoriello calling.
he's probably still living in the area.
Oh, yeah, probably.
Turk. Come on.
We could do this. We can make this happen. So, okay, there you go. It's better than Jacques Lemaire.
It's two very different situations.
Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah, sure.
And I would love them both, because just seeing Jacques Lemaire behind the Islanders bench now when he's, I don't know how old he is. Who's older, him or Lou?
I think Lou is a little bit older.
By like five years, maybe?
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Again, it's just, I feel like these guys need somebody they can listen to. And Jacques Lemaire's got more Stanley Cups than the Islanders franchise has, right? So it's like, he didn't just win those with the Devils. He won a whole bunch with the Canadians, obviously. So, I don't know. But I like your Gallant pick. I think he's probably just a phone call away, and we'll see what happens. Maybe by the time you listen to this, he may already be there. Or it's John Hines. And again, we look like big fools, but that's okay. We're trying to rationalize what we saw this weekend, and it's still bothering us. And now a word from our sponsors. First is VintageIceHockey.com, where you can get t-shirts, hoodies, jerseys, mugs, and more featuring over 100 classic hockey logos. Vintage Ice Hockey also carries our Al Arbor and the Island merch, and our portion of the sales always go directly to the Center for Dementia Research. Use the code ANXIETY20 to save 20% off an order of two items. That is VintageIceHockey.com. Try wines from the Pinot Project. They offer a rosé, a Pinot Grigio, and a Pinot Noir that was named a 2022 Top 100 Best Buy by Wine Enthusiast Magazine. All are delicious, priced at less than $15 a bottle, and available at local wine shops and at UBS Arena. Learn more at thepinotproject.com. Please drink responsibly. Okay, real quick. The upcoming games should take not too long to talk about, because it's three games against two teams. The Islanders have the Flyers on Wednesday, the Senators on Friday, and then the Flyers on Saturday. Both those Flyers games are at UBS Arena, which is kind of funny. You'd think they'd be a home at home, but it's a home and Islanders home. It's an Islanders home / home guest setup. These teams are playing well right now. The Flyers have won five in a row. The Senators, I believe, have also picked up a bunch of wins recently, but maybe not. Let me double check here. Regardless, these are teams that the Islanders really shouldn't take too lightly. Actually, so the Senators are a point behind the Islanders. Yeah, they've won three in a row. So they're hot right now. These rosters are not all that great, and the Islanders can win these games. But as we've been talking about for over an hour now, you cannot trust this team. Nothing makes sense. We can't, you know, take anything for granted at all. And it would not surprise me in the slightest, and my stomach is turning thinking about it, if we don't see three more games in which the Islanders take a two-goal lead in the first two periods and then blow both of them and then maybe get a point in overtime. Maybe they win in a shootout, or maybe they'll win an overtime game at some point, right? They have to win one by accident, maybe. And the streak just continues for like, you know, whatever, the ninth or 10th straight game. So, yeah, I could see that happening. I don't want to see it happening, but I mean, what do you think about these three games in a row here? I mean, again, it's funny because the Flyers and Senators are both very similar teams. Like they're young. They, you know, didn't come in with a ton of expectations. The Flyers are in a playoff spot right now. They're playing well. Good for them. And the Senators, you know, fell apart, but now they're playing well right now too. So they just came back from Europe. They were in Europe. So, but they're both similar in that, you know, the Islanders should beat both of them, but I don't think they are. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. We knew that this road trip was going to be completely off the path. Hmm. I've got no idea what's coming next. So I feel like we're resetting a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's,
especially this if they is have the coach.
Yes. Yeah, it's true too. Right. Like, so it does feel like this is a new kind of chunk of the season coming up. Cause even when the Islanders were 5-2-2 this season, it almost felt like we hadn't learned anything yet. And so, and we'd even do our podcast and we talk about, hey, this is what happened. This is how it made me feel. This is something insane that Luke Fox Jukebox wrote in The Athletic or Sportsnet. We'll see you next week. And then the next episode, we'd say, hey, the Islanders played a couple more games. This is what we learned. Mark Spector is completely off the rails over in Edmonton. We'll see you next week. But we do feel like something's coming. There's something coming, by the way. There's a storm cloud on the horizon over there. And then we had the episode right before the trip, and we said, yeah, we're the storm cloud is here. Make sure you plug in your generators and that stuff. There's some really weird stuff being written about the Pittsburgh Penguins, and we'll see you next week. And now we're kind of just, yeah, resetting. And it feels like we've learned more about ourselves maybe than the team.
Right.
Through the first 17 games. My main lesson from the Islanders first, as we get into Thanksgiving week, which is a checkpoint for NHL seasons, and as we approach that checkpoint, is I've learned that I'm still hopelessly married to this team, because if I wasn't, if this relationship wasn't toxic, I would have just not watched a couple of these games. I had every excuse not to watch any of these games.
Yeah.
So I've learned that about myself, and I've learned that this team can't be trusted, but at the same time, I kind of still believe in them somehow. And I'm going to carry that into these next few weeks.
I mean, whenever we say we don't see the Islanders winning these games, it's not like we don't want them to win. We're just looking at it as, you know, taking into account what they've already done, and we just can't see it. I mean, I can see them winning all three of these games, you know, and really derailing both of these teams' momentum, because that's how it works. I mean, they're not going to keep winning forever. I mean, the Flyers have won 5 in a row. For them, that's great. The Senators have won 3 in a row. That's great for them too. And I hope that we're wrong, and maybe the Islanders come back with 6 points in these three games. But considering what we just talked about in the first half of this episode, the bizarreness, maybe that was a Canadian thing. Maybe now that they're back on American soil. Boy, one of those games was on American soil too. Well, it was, yeah, Pacific Northwest soil. It's different. But, you know, maybe that they're back home, things will straighten out. But I don't know. Again, it's unless things seriously change in how this team approaches games, nothing will change. It's going to be the same bizarre thing over and over again.
And, you know, we talked a lot about this hypothetical coaching change. I'm actually happy that we were recording Sunday night rather than Monday after learning if the Islanders have a new coach or not, because I think that having this lead up to that, rather lead up to the moment, is almost a little healthier than it being, let's unravel the coaching change and then we'll talk about the games. Cause I think the games almost were more important, and how they played out were almost more important than whatever is going to happen tomorrow. If that makes sense. What this team has just put me, all of us through, I think is a lot more important to kind of unwind and talk about than just talking about a coaching change, which, because like you said, like this, we have no, unless this team changes its insanely psychotic way of playing hockey, it's not going to matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter if Scotty Bowman is walking through the door, right? The ghost of Al Arbor.
Right.
This is and something that's going to a change, sure, is welcome, and then it's going to have to be on the rest of this group just to stop doing dumb shit and making us suffer through it. Like, I just don't want to suffer through it anymore. I want to go to bed after a straightforward game of hockey.
Good luck with that. Because I don't even see one this season from these guys yet. Maybe the Arizona game. That's about it.
Yeah, but even that one was, it was 1-0 forever.
Yeah, right, exactly. One mistake could have changed everything. So, but yeah, that the Islanders aren't doing that this year. That's not this year's bobblehead giveaway. Is games you could just go to sleep after. Yeah. It doesn't really work that way. So those games are again Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday.
Yeah. Wednesday. The Wednesday atmospheres.
Oh my god, it's gonna be insane. Yeah,
I'm gonna be there, and I don't know, like, because if Lambert's still the coach, I think that's just a sign that he's gonna be the coach for the whole time. And at that point, what's the point of even screaming? Because you've got the message across that, and then the general manager has told you, we're not listening to you. So it just becomes more like faux catharsis than anything. Yeah. But at the same time, if there is a new coach, I don't know, it could be an interestingly fun atmosphere. I'm dreading it and looking forward to it at the same time.
Because then after that, there's another small road trip through Jersey, Carolina, and Florida. And then they're home for 7 or 6 straight days. So 6 straight games through the middle of December. So, if Lane is still there, those games are going to get increasingly more and more hostile unless they start winning. And it's against tough teams like the Kings, Leafs, Bruins. So we shall see. But again, we're speculating. But I mean, after what we watched, we would not be surprised. Okay, a couple of things real quick before we sign off. Larry Brooks wrote a column today in the Post. And the title is, and I swear to God, I'm reading this right off of the thing. It says, who would have better Stanley Cup odds in fantastical Connor McDavid, Ilya Sorokin blockbuster? And he goes on to posit this trade with McDavid, Evan Bouchard, and either Stuart Skinner or Calvin Pickard from Edmonton to the Island in exchange for Ilya Sorokin and Matt Barzal. He spends half of the article talking about how this trade will never happen, but also why it should happen and how the Oilers would have better chance to win the Cup with Leon Draisaitl and Ilya Sorokin. And the Islanders would get winter classics and be a destination with Connor McDavid. This is an insane article. I recommend everybody read it. When you've gotten to the station that Brooksy has, you can write whatever you want, and it's fine. I just want to say that if this trade ever happened, Connor McDavid would rather retire and go work on the Alaskan pipeline than play for the Islanders. So that's why this trade will probably never happen. Brooksy is a colleague of yours at the New York Post. You both appear in the pages of the Post. So what's going on? You need to get in the Slack chat with him and be like, this doesn't work for me, brother. Like, I don't know. This column, are you all right over there? What's going on?
It's crazy. That was something. And there are times where you just read something. You're like, oh, that must be fake. And you just kind of go about your day, and then someone else will send it. Yeah. No, it was real. I don't think that Connor McDavid, like Scotty Bowman, I don't think Connor McDavid's walking through these doors anytime soon.
True.
Can you imagine Connor McDavid in trade Islanders? The entire country of Canada would just sink into the Hudson Bay or something.
Well, they would get at least Sorokin out of it, but still, they wouldn't.
Yeah.
Mark Spector would like jump off a bridge or something. I don't even know.
That article just popping up just adds to the point of what I was talking about before. It's like, I got no idea what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. Because I haven't read a shred about the Leafs are winning. So that also kind of turns me off to reading about them. The Rangers are winning. Yeah. Oh yeah. How you want to talk about how absolutely fucked up this season has been so far. We're already at the stage where we're rooting for the Rangers in individual games. Cause they're so far gone from us that you have to now be trained to be like, if Rangers are playing the Penguins, need the Rangers to win. Rangers are playing the Flyers. Need the Rangers to win. It's November 19th, and we're already doing that charade. Like, it sucks. Yeah. That is not fun at all to come to grips with. And but it's where we're at, and it's going to take a lot of adjusting. I think this week, kind of like trying to make sense of the dust as before it settles here on the season, because the Islanders as I said last week, they're in this like weird mini league with the Flyers, the Capitals, the Lightning, the Red Wings, Penguins, Panthers. Devils.
Yeah.
Yeah. Panthers. Like there's a very strange pattern developing here in the Eastern Conference. And it's hard to even make sense of it because you'd expect teams like the Flyers and the Capitals to kind of stumble. We think that the Devils and Hurricanes are going to pick themselves up, but maybe they don't. Like this is, I've got no idea how out of it or in it the Islanders are right now.
Yeah. Mathematically, they're very much in it.
They're very much in it. Yeah.
Realistically.
But you look at it, you're like, yeah, do I think that they're 2 points back of basically everybody. It's just so fucking nuts.
And then there's a bunch of teams that are 2 points back of them. So like,
yeah.
Right. So I don't know if Elliot Friedman's, you know, November Thanksgiving stat is going to mean much this year because any one of these teams could catch fire and end up in the playoffs. So we'll have to see. But yeah. So it's bizarre. And if you want to add a little extra bizarre cherry on top, check out Brooksley's column. I'll put the link there and you could see it's real with your own two eyes. Real quick. Congratulations to Kyle Oposo on his 1000th game. It happened right after our last episode. And we love Kyle. We still love Kyle. And it's great to see him play up there. And I think he's played still more games with the Islanders than with the Sabres just because he had those injury issues up there. But it was great to see him play. And there was a cool video that came out and feels like every Islander he played with is on it. And Franz Nielsen and Molson and some of the guys who shall not be named. But it was pretty cool to see. So I liked seeing that. And everybody loves Kyle. So it's great. Love him. And every time we see his family, he's got a new kid. So good on him. It's staying very busy. I'm sure he's probably being at the games is the calmest part of his day, but it's pretty cool. Anyway, congratulations, Kyle. One other thing real quick, Weird Islanders, our next episode of Weird Islanders is going to come out on Wednesday. Normally it would be next Friday, but it's Black Friday. People are off. People are going to be shopping. I didn't want anybody to miss it. So I'm going to put it out on Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So if you're traveling somewhere, you can listen to it. It's a great episode. It's got a bit of a football and pop culture kind of lean to it with a new guest we've never had on before. And it's great. So I'm going to put that out a little early and people can enjoy it. So keep your eyes open for that as well. Okay. So like I said before, sign up at patreon.com/IslandersAnxiety for ad-free episodes and bonus content. Follow us on Twitter at Isles Anxiety Pod. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. We really need them. Our theme song is Morning Haze by Family Dinner. Check them out on Bandcamp and on Spotify, and look for them on tour near you. Read Lighthouse Hockey every single day for your most up-to-date Islanders news and discussion. Islanders Anxiety Podcast are part of the Fans First Sports Network. To learn more, check out fansfirstsports.com. Shop vintageicehockey.com. I got my Kentucky Thoroughblades black t-shirt in the mail. So excited. I can't wait to wear it. It's awesome. Check them out. And obviously drink wines from the Pinot Project. Mike, where can everybody find you on Twitter?
The Big Lee Basky, 2 E's.
Follow Mike at the Big Lee Basky. Read and listen to his work in the Action Network. Read his work at the New York Post. Pick up some betting odds and maybe win some money. Any final thoughts on what has to be one of the most bizarre weeks we've talked about? I mean, we've covered a lot in 8 years on this show, and this is clearly one of the most insane weeks we've ever witnessed together and talked about. It's, I mean, I don't know. Is there anything left to say about it?
Yeah, there's very little left to say about it. And I think that when you think about Islanders' weird weeks or weird stretches, a lot of off-the-ice chicanery comes to mind.
Sure.
Whether it's an owner going to jail, another owner going to jail, a co-owner going to jail, protests about the change of the logo.
Yeah, moving arenas after moving you already arenas. Moved into a new arena. Yeah.
Brett Yormark landing a helicopter in the Nassau Coliseum parking lot before a playoff game. So we've seen so many things just go into you're not going to believe this territory off the ice. But it's very rare that we see stuff venture into you're not going to believe this territory on the ice because we've seen it all. Right. And not only did things venture into you're not going to believe what just happened territory this week once, not only did it happen twice, but it happened half a dozen times maybe. I don't know how I'm going to look back on this week.
Right.
I really don't. I don't know if I'm still going to be mad that I sat through it all because the Islanders season just went down the tubes and this team is on the precipice of disaster. Or if this is a moment of galvanizing, you know, a team galvanizing after a losing streak and perhaps a coach change or whatever. I've got no idea how I'm going to look back on this Western Canada road trip 2023. And that's really frightening stuff because I just lived through it and I still haven't been, I won't be able to unpack it all until there's some closure to it. And there's only one way that we get closure for this, and that's for them to play more games. And that's the last thing I want them to do.
Jeez. Well, they're going to play more games whether we want them to or not, unfortunately. But maybe they can win some of them in like a normal way. Like we said, just give us maybe a couple of normal games. And again, looking at the upcoming schedule, maybe that's possible. But we shall see. And we will be back next week to talk about whatever happens with these three next games. And yeah, maybe they'll end up in a more normal fashion. But I wouldn't hold my breath. Thank you very much for listening. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Eat lots of food. Watch lots of football. Have fun with your families. And we'll be there with a Weird Islanders coming up this week as well. So you can sit around the fireplace and listen. That'll be a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back next week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.